Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and today our topic is books and how to grow your summer reading list. If you're like me, you're always trying to squeeze in more time for reading. And I think one of the best things you can do is create a killer list of books that you can't wait to get to. So that's our mission today. And we've got some experts along with us to help us. Throughout the hour today, we have David Cheesham, a poet and proprietor of the independent bookstore Fireside Books in Palmer. Welcome, David.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much.
And for our first half hour, we also have Alaska homegrown author Dana Stabenow, famed for her Kate Shugak and Liam Campbell series, and a spin-off TV series in the works, among many other books. Welcome, Dana.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Now, at the half-hour break, we're going to say goodbye to Dana, and in the second half of the show, we're going to welcome Heather Linde, a longtime newspaper and now web columnist and the obit writer for the Chilkat Valley News and the author of a new book, Take Good Care of the Garden and the Dog. Welcome, Heather, who's not going to join us till later. All three of our guests today are accomplished writers, and that means they read a ton. So they're here today not so much to talk about their writing and their books, but to tell us what they're reading and what they recommend. We have also invited lots of profile Alaskans to tell us what they're reading. So if you're wondering what the mayor's reading, or maybe Andrew Hallcrow, what's he reading, or maybe Julia O'Malley at the Anchorage Daily News, well, they've committed. We've got those lists. They're posted on our website at ksk.org. So find out what those folks are reading, and we've got others. We invited the public library to tell us what their hottest books are, what's getting checked out the fastest at the library. So we've got that list on the web. And we also asked the literary librarian at UAAAPU Consortium Library, and she's given us a top 10 list. So we've got lots of books coming at you. You know, don't feel like you've got to pull over to the side of the road and write these all down. We've got them on our website. But also, we're going to be talking with David and Dana and later Heather about lots of books that maybe aren't even on our list. So also, I want to invite people who have stayed up late and read into the wee hours of the morning to call us and tell us what that book was that got under their skin. So we've got a couple phone numbers for you. 550-8433 if you're in Anchorage. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And we can also take emails. So you can jot us an email and we can read it on the air. And that's hometownalaska@kska.org. I want to remind you that this show is going to be rebroadcast at 10 o'clock tonight, but you can't call in then. So now's your time to interact with David and Dana and Heather later on. Don't forget about ksk.org. I just don't want you to. There's lots of websites on that list. We've got lots of library resources there, but you don't have to remember those email addresses. You can just remember kska.org. So David and Dana, let's get started.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to have this program because I have many more books in my possession than I have read, and I start so many books, and so I'm looking at you guys as my book whisperers. You're going to help me and help our listeners who want to read more figure out a way to get more more print in front of their eyes in the busy times that we live in. So one of my first thoughts was, well, is Alaska really a summertime reading environment, or is it more, you know, when the snow falls and we all start to cocoon in our living room sofas, and is that really more the time we read? And before the show, Dana and I were talking about that, and she has a couple thoughts about that.
I definitely do. There's lots of opportunity for lots of time during the summer for reading. I mean, if you're working on a fishing boat, there's lots of time between periods. There's always tons of books on fishing boats. Probably the same thing at fish camp, you know, in between runs. Probably the same thing, you know, all the way out at the gold mine. You can't be mining gold the entire time that you're there. So I think that there's plenty of downtime. Besides which, you're not going to get to sleep before midnight anyway, because it doesn't get dark until 1 o'clock, so you might as well be reading something.
Exactly. That you've got all these extra daylight hours, you know, pull out an easy chair on the deck and keep reading right into the midnight hours. So I kind of agree with you, Dana. I think that, you know, if it's a habit and it's something you touch every day, you're going to want to get back to it anyway. So I wonder, David, you know, you're a proprietor in a bookstore. You know, what do you have a sense of that from people? Do you see more people in the winter? Do you see more people in the summer? Or is it just kind of universal?
It's pretty universal. It You know, the weird thing is, and this doesn't relate to directly to your question, but it's, I notice that when the weather changes, you know, if it's been raining for a couple of days and it stops raining, then they come out. Or if it's been sunny for a couple of days and it starts raining, then that's when they, people come out. It's somehow when change happens in the world and outside, people change inside and want to read. Now, that made no sense at all, but that's kind of
but
what
human
I've
beings,
noticed.
Yeah, human beings don't always make sense. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But there might be something to that.
Yeah, and but you know, and I don't think the competition with reading. I mean, yes, we are all very busy, but I think the competition is with, well, Facebook, which I have a real problem with, and television and movies and all of that. It's the setting aside a space in your head for a sustained dialogue with the written page, and it's hard to do. So in that sense, you know, Fish Camp is better because it takes you away from all the other competition. Mm. I really like what Dana said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I'm a reader in the car, and on road trips, I can be in the passenger seat and just going like crazy on a book. But I know not everybody can do that. They get look down and they get kind of car sick. But that's a really good time for me to get a lot of reading done. And I know traveling is a really good time for people to get reading done. I have friends who only read on airplanes, and they read voraciously because they travel a lot. But I think that I don't think I'm unique. I think a lot of people are like me who long for the connection and the immersion in a world that's not the world you live in, you know, the diversion of it. And I think that, you know, when I think about Dana and the worlds you've created, you know, for these series that you've written about Kate and Liam, and that's a world you must immerse yourself in just to write.
Well, yeah.
So are they real people? I mean, how do you...
To me?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
I mean,
as a reader, I certainly hope so.
I mean, are you... I mean, every time I've talked to you, you say, hey, it's my living. I write for a living. It's my job, you know, so it's very... You're there's nothing mystical about it for you. You're just, you know, get right down to it, and you're a disciplined writer. So maybe you think we should all be disciplined readers.
No, I absolutely do not. I started to say that reading comes under the heading of entertainment for me, but of course that's not all. Like, I'm reading right now, I'm reading Free by Chris Anderson. And essentially, it's the same guy who wrote The Long Tail.
Oh,
essentially,
yes.
He's trying to convince me that giving things away is how to make money, essentially. And I must say, I'm about a third of the way through the book, and he's pretty much got me convinced.
Really?
Already.
I am surprised. I am surprised.
He's a smart guy and a good writer. So, you know, that's not escape. That also is my living. But I also, you know, read absolutely for escape. There's nothing better than a good adventure novel. If it's, you know, it doesn't matter if it's mystery or fantasy or real life or thrillers or whatever. I mean, I love to dive into a good book and have the world vanish around me while I'm in that world.
Mm-hmm. And it really takes you away from your work, actually. It's another world.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know, the thing that I... you know, if I were the doctor of reading, I would say read the stuff you love for long periods of time and balance. You know, if you're reading in work, it's not the same as what you're reading at home. I mean, that's your mind is in a different place when you're reading for the job. If you're looking for specific information to come up to, but the thing is, make sure that you read what you like for a while, and then every now and then throw something in the mix you don't like or don't think you're going to like. If you haven't read poetry since high school or college, delve into poetry again just for something different, because you're and that even helps, I think, physiologically. It helps you stay younger and sharper. And sometimes the people who come into my store, they're English majors, and they've never read a mystery. and I say, you've got to read Dana, and when they they take my advice. They love it. They said, "Whoa, a novel that with a story."
Beginning, middle, and end.
Yes,
well, Danny, you mentioned there's nothing like a great adventure story. I'm going to throw one out there that Kate Lighthouser from the Consortium Library gave us. And she said, "Feeling lost on Amazon.com? Get lost in the Amazon, The Lost City of Z, a tale of deadly obsession in the Amazon by David Gran." And she says he's a staff writer for The New Yorker, and he retraces the steps of a 1920s explorer in search of a fabled ancient civilization. You'll be surprised what he finds. If you love archaeology, you'll love this. So there's one that we're throwing out there that's maybe an adventure novel and something that you might not have picked off. You know, if you're reading a lot of one kind of thing, maybe there's one you might pick up that you hadn't heard of before. The Lost City of Z.
Yeah, you just took my thunder. That was on my list.
Oh, my gosh!
I wanted to. I didn't tell you that. But that's. But anyway, you were talking to Dana. But
Well, go ahead and chime in. Why was it on your list?
Oh, it's just fantastic. The way the story is told, it's going... Well, first of all, you know, if you've watched Indiana Jones or, you know, the movies I grew up on late-night TV and black and white about these lost civilizations and, you know, cartoon, they're all based on this one real person, Percy Fawcett. And he gave his life, literally sacrificed his life to... this idea that there was a lost civilization, and it had a huge intellectual impact there, because if he was right, then everyone else at the time was wrong about so-called primitive people. He was, you know, by our standards, he was very enlightened in that sense. This debate on whether we could even think of them as, you know, indigenous people as human. If you went on one way, you thought that they could have had a civilization in the area, and if you went another way, then you thought they couldn't have. So he got lost in the Amazon, big publicity, big media event at the time, was never found, and then over the 100 years or so, hundreds of people have gone and tried to trace his steps and also have been lost.
Oh, wow.
And this, the writer is actually down there, and he has some harrowing experiences. And he has some ideas about what happened. I don't want to give it all away, but it's so beautifully structured, with it going the present time to the past, and you're on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Oh, that's great. I wonder if any of our listeners have read that. I'd really love to invite them to call in and share a book or share a comment about that book. Let me put the numbers out there for you. 550-8433-888-353-5752. And also our email, hometownalaska@kska.org. David, I love that description. You made me want to go read the book, so that's great. I'm going to just throw out a couple others here. Or is there anything else? David, let's hear some of your hot picks.
Well, that was a big one. And then I asked the staff for some ideas. And, you know, we've got for the Twilight fans, and I've not read the Twilight ones, but there's a novella, kind of an offshoot from the Twilight series, The Short Second Life of Bree Tanner, and that's a huge little novella, taking one of the characters, and kind of revisiting, her life, and, so that's been a big one.
That sounds great. I just want to throw in here, David, that Laura Baldwin at the library gave us the hot picks. And for young people, Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series makes the top four. So that whole genre has really swept through. I just read about an author, an English professor, who just did an offshoot vampire book and suddenly making more money than he ever did as a professor. So for some reason, that genre really, the romance of it, I guess, the darkness of it, seems to capture people.
I have a recommendation for a young adult novel that I would also like to recommend, that if you have an adult friend out there who, you know, maybe doesn't, reading isn't a habit, but maybe, you know, thinks maybe he or she might like to start reading again. This is a real, there's some of the best writing nowadays is in young adult fiction. And The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins is a marvelous edge-of-the-seat story that I actually had to put down a couple of times and walk away from because I was so scared what was going to happen.
Whoa!
Yes, it's just, it's marvelous. It's set in a post-apocalyptic America where there are 12 districts and then there's the central government. And 75 years ago, the districts tried to rebel and the central government said, put down the rebellion. And just to remind the districts every year of what happened, they pick two kids, like they have to be under the age of 16, and it doesn't matter what physical condition they are, from each of the districts, and they put them in an arena in the central area, which is located like right around Denver, and then they make them fight to the death, and whoever the last one standing wins. And get this, you have to watch. It's televised, and watching is mandatory, just to drive the lesson home.
Wow.
And it is an extraordinary piece of work. There's a sequel called Catching Fire, and then the third, it's a trilogy, the third is going to come out this August. Now, let me tell you, I've already ordered my copy. It is just, yeah. It is truly, this is just a wonderful book to get somebody started reading.
Well,
it's good for kids, it's good for grown-ups, it's good for men, it's good for women, it's across the board. It is every book, I have hand-sold more copies of this book than I have probably of all my own put together.
Wow.
Just because it's just a wonderful, rollicking, rousing tale.
Well, you guys you're hitting two for two, because that's the number two book for young teens out of the Anchorage Library. So,
yeah.
So that's great. Hey, I want to go to
number one.
Well, it's probably going to get there. So listen, I want to go to the phones because we've got a caller. Amanda?
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the program.
I just had a quick comment. It was very interesting that you all were talking about, you know, kind of broadening your horizons and reading books that you, you know, kind of outside your comfort zone. And I actually picked up that The Lost City of Z, and I just I thought I would never pick up a book like that. And it was fascinating. I mean, it really, I think there was a review about it. I'm not sure who said, but it said, you know, this book reads like a movie, and I really felt like it did. I mean, I would get into it, and I just would look up, and it would be, you know, 10 o'clock at night or something, and it was fascinating. It was just a great read, so just wanted to pass that along.
Oh, well, that's great. There's nothing like peer reviews to make us want to pick up a book.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks so much for this program. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Oh, good, and don't forget to go to KSKA.org, because we'll have many books listed there, so if you want to keep on working your way down it should be there.
Perfect.
Yeah,
thank you.
And tell all your friends about it, because you know, how much of our conversations are about books? So much of in my business, of course, that's all we talk about. But I think real people and the real world go through the day without talking about books. Even people who love to read, they don't feel comfortable talking about them out loud. And I think we talk about iPhones and all of that and internet, but we don't talk about the books we read.
That's right. I mean, and it's true. And you don't want to be left out. If there's a movement happening, I want to be on it. So
yeah,
I think I've got to get The Lost City of Z and get going on that for sure.
Yeah.
I want to throw out an example of what somebody in Anchorage is reading, because this is a little bit different. This is Andrew Hallcrow, an Anchorage businessman, former Alaska state legislator. Here's what he's reading. It's called Waiter Rant. Thanks for the Tip, Confessions of a Cynical Waiter by Steve Dublanica. And Andrew says, it's a wickedly funny, laugh-out-loud look into the real life of a New York bistro waiter. It will change the way you look at the people who deliver the hot plates to your table. That sounds good.
That's really intriguing. That's one that I don't know. I have to admit that sounds a lot of fun.
There's a book that came out, it was a couple of years ago. I think the title is Service Included, and it's about a waitress in a New York restaurant, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's all those chef books, you know, about...
there's some really good chef books.
Yeah, and how the tension in the kitchen and the egos and all that kind of stuff. It would scare me right out of the kitchen, I think. But who knew, you know, that there was so much drama while you're waiting for your salad? So
there's a guy named, a British author named Julian Barnes, wrote a I think it was a series of columns that were then printed in The Guardian, the British newspaper, and they're collected under one title called The Pedant in the Kitchen. It is a riot. This is, I mean, if you've ever done any cooking at all, you definitely want to read this book. And even if you haven't, you want to read this book. He's got a little thing where he assigns that, you know, when a meal is going bad in the kitchen, while everybody is in the living room whooping it up, getting hungrier, you know, and waiting for the meal to come, and he'll assign how many nooses to the meal as to how bad, you know, it's like a four noose meal if things are really going bad in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. We've all had bad dining experiences, and we've had good dining experiences, but this is all about the people delivering up the dishes, so that's great. I like the sort of, you know, the real work of the world. I like, you know, reading about that, you know, areas of employment that I've never done. It could be medical, it could be science, it could be kitchens, you know. It's fun to visit the lives of other people, and told sometimes with, you know, no holds barred, right?
So, yeah.
So that's one reason that I love historical novels so much. It's not only about the character, it's about the place. It's, you know, about picking you up and putting you down in that place. One example recently is Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel, which is told by Cromwell, who was Henry VIII's hatchet man, and it is just a riveting read. And it's astonishing that I would say that, because it's told in the present tense, and that usually leaves me cold. But a page and a half into this book, I just forgot that it was.
Wow.
And I was carried on, and it's a very different look at Cromwell. If you've read any, I'm pretty well read in Elizabethan history, so I have a pretty good idea of his character, and she just stood his character on its head. It's a marvelous, marvelous read.
That's great. Hypnotizing. That's great. I love to read history, because you know what? It repeats itself, and so there's reasons to go back and look at how it turned out once, and maybe it's going to turn out that way again. I was just going to throw out another book from our mayor, because I have a feeling this series that he's hooked into is going to be really popular. He just finished The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo by Stieg Larsson, and I know you guys must know about that, the three-part series. He was a Swedish journalist and died after he turned in his books, and they've been enormously successful. Are those getting picked up at the bookstore, David?
Oh, are you kidding? We had a shipment come in and it was gone the next day. It's huge. But I am so surprised. You know, it's really interesting. You know, here's a mayor that got swept in office from by this wave of social conservatism and frankly homophobia. And then here's this book that is not socially conservative at all. I mean, there's a brutal rape scene and everything, but people, you know, and I really respect him a little bit more, because he's reading outside of the stereotype there, and that's really good.
Right. That's great. He said it was the most original work of fiction to emerge in years, and that he devoured it. So it must have really caught him up. I have not read that. I've been reading more about the book than I have read the book.
That's the problem.
yeah. Well, it's a pretty interesting story. He's a journalist from Sweden and a feminist. And he takes that stance in the book, apparently. So I wonder if any of our listeners have read that. I'd like to hear a little bit more about it. I'm going to throw out those numbers again for our listeners. It's 550-8433 or outside of Anchorage, 888-353-5752, or shoot us an email at hometownalaska@ksk.org. Dana, I wanted to throw out one of the books I read. It's not new, but it was a really interesting. It was the biography of LBJ. That was it. Robert. Okay, I want to say Cato, but I'm not sure I've got the right.
Errol.
Say again.
Yeah,
Errol.
Yes,
yeah.
It was so good to. I mean, you know, I was around when LBJ was around. I wasn't paying that much attention, but to sort of really go inside where he was actually a very powerless personality when he came to D.C. and was, you know, took the calendaring job in the House, the least likely job, and turned it into the most powerful job because he knew where everybody was and he used it. So that became his power base for, you know, calling in his chits. You know, if you were someplace that you didn't want people to know, he would respect that. But then he would pay for that later with the favor that he needed. And it became, you know, he's just a master at building a power base. And so I didn't really realize all that when I was living through, you know, the years of the Vietnam War and all that. What a masterful politician he was. And that's a book that lets you on the inside. You know, that brings up another topic. I think we're reading more politics, perhaps, than we've ever read before. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I just finished David McCulloch's John Adams. And that was a revelation. God, I didn't know. I've read some books about founding fathers because there seem to be an awful lot of them coming out lately. James Thomas Flexner's Washington, The Indispensable Man, and it seems like every time you turn around, there's another book about Jefferson out there. But this one by John Adams, he was a one-term president he was a one-term president, his full life. One of the great things is one of the things that we are very lucky that happened that John and Abigail did not find so fortunate was the fact that they were separated so long, so often. So they wrote these massive letters back and forth to each other, and they also had this enormous correspondence that they carried on with pretty much everyone in the literate world. So McCulloch has a positive genius for picking exactly and precisely the right piece from the right letter to illustrate a friend or an event or, my God, practically an entire historical era. By the time you get to the end of this book, you have upfront look at not just the American Revolution, but everything before and after it. And I'll tell you, when Abigail died, I cried. And when John died, I sobbed. It was like they both just died the day before, not 200 years ago. Truly an extraordinary, extraordinary. It's the best biography I ever read, I think.
What an amazing skill that is to pull all that information.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's very smart. And McCulloch is very smart in choosing a time where people were literate and they wrote copiously, and he's good at choosing people, because I've read some of his other stuff by now, and he's good at choosing people that, you know, their correspondence is still extant. But I don't think it is given to every writer out there to be able to grab that one nugget of information that is going to illuminate an entire day or year or epoch in someone's life, and he can do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, say, I want to go to the phones for a second because we've got a caller. Claire, hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, this is Claire from the library, right?
Yeah, this is Claire with the library, Anchorage Public Library, and I wanted to put in a plug for the summer reading celebration we have going on all summer. If you go to our website, you can check out our readers' page, the summer reading celebration page, and we've got all sorts of lists to help you find the book in the genre you like, and you could sign up for our book letters, which every week you'll get an email with a list of the hot books and your favorite topic from the Oprah Book Club list to the New York Times bestseller list. And then once you find the book that you like, you can put a hold on it online and go to any of our locations to pick it up. So it's really convenient.
You're helping us. You're making it easy. You know, Claire, you and I spoke briefly yesterday because I knew that you sent a note in to us in anticipation of the program about what the library is doing. I want you to know that we put all your links on kska.org, which is sort of an easy address to remember. But you have an event coming up, which I'm not sure I got on there, which was about, it's a training session for people who want to lead book discussions. Is that right?
Yeah, we want to empower more people in the community to lead book discussions, and that is Wednesday, July 14th at 6:30 at the Lusac Library downstairs in our conference room, and we'll give you everything you need to know to learn how to pick books and keep the conversation going, and then possibly volunteer for the library to organize one of our book discussions.
That's great. So kind of a viral through the community, you know, raise up a community of readers with a volunteer corps of ambassadors. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I attended one of our book discussions this spring, and it was really neat because we had people from all generations and walks of life talking about a shared experience of reading that book, and it was really wonderful.
So that's kind of an interesting idea, because we think of books being broken up, adult fiction, you know, teen fiction, but actually you get books that are pulling in all audiences, all ages of audiences.
Yeah, we did cover Stieg Larsson's, one of his books this spring, and that was very very popular.
Oh, we were just talking about that, because that turned out to be Mayor Dan Sullivan's recommendation. Was it The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah, I believe so.
Uh-huh, and so that's appealing to all kinds of readers?
Yeah.
Well, that's not all ages, though.
not all ages, Claire?
Right.
Oh,
you want to make that really clear.
Tend to be for adults,
yeah,
but all
would,
ages from there.
So yeah. So older teens or young adults, that sort of thing, but not kids.
No. We have separate book discussions for kids, actually, in the fall. You'd have to look at our schedule online,
mm-hmm.
But we have book clubs for little kids too.
Well, that's really great, and I know we're gonna take a break here very soon, but I know David, we're gonna come back and talk a little bit about book clubs as a way of organizing your literary life. But before we go, I want to say thank you to Dana for joining us and talking and giving us so many good suggestions. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners, Dana?
Well, just about what we talked before. I won't read the whole thing because the excerpt's too long. There's a gentleman named David Owen wrote a book called The First National Bank of Dad. Toward the end, he tells you why we should encourage children to read. So if anybody's looking for a reason out there, children who are read to regularly from early ages develop lifelong skills that can't be acquired from a VCR or the Disney Channel. They become better listeners and find it easier to pay attention in school. Their vocabularies grow rapidly and grammar seems less mysterious to them. They don't immediately lose interest in any idea that is harder to grasp than a television commercial. They develop the patience to follow a complex problem to its solution. They become better writers all by themselves through their ample powers of imitation. Most of all, children who grow up immersed in books develop the ability to answer their own questions. Gradually, they acquire a skill shared by the greatest scholars in the world, the ability to educate themselves. And that goes for fiction, nonfiction, every age range that there is. You put a kid's nose in a book, and it's only going to make life better for them.
You know, the world's changing a lot all the time. So people who know how to go out and find out things, they're going to be on the top of the game for sure.
They already are.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great takeaway, Dana. So I want to thank you so much for sharing some time, and congratulations on your own literary success and your coming TV series. And thank you for taking the time today to talk to our listeners.
It was my pleasure, Kathleen. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And thank you, Claire. Thank you very much for all your tips that are on our website. And this is Hometown Alaska. This is Kathleen McCoy.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the show repeats tonight at 10. Remember, tonight's recorded rebroadcast will not be taking phone calls. Following this afternoon's broadcast, you can also find a copy of today's Hometown Alaska online at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Hello again, this is Kathleen McCoy, and if you're just joining us, you're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, and I'm here with David Cheesham, who is a poet and a proprietor of a bookstore, an independent bookstore in Palmer called Fireside Books, and we are joined by Heather Lindy.
Hi, Kathleen, and hello, David.
Well, hi, Heather. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice to talk with you.
And welcome. I don't know, Dana, if you were able to listen to us talking at all, but I told Dana, and I've already told David, that I consider you guys my book whisperers. You're going to help me bring me back to books. It's not that I fell away from books. It's just that the distractions of life mean that I end up falling into bed with a book and reading for 5 minutes, and then it collapses on my face, and my husband has to turn the light out when he goes to bed. And I'm not proud of that fact, but I know that there's a world there that's fabulous, and I want our listeners to get the chance to participate in it. And, you know, Dana was just saying the value for kids in reading is that they ultimately learn to know how to find out information, and the world is changing so much that even this old technology of the book, you know, can be the starting ground for your skill level in this sort of navigating this fast-changing world all the time, if you know where to get information. So you can start with books to do that. And I know, Dana, that, well, let me just tell folks that we want you to call us and tell you what you're reading. Tell us what you're reading. And we've mentioned a bunch of books in the past half hour. We've got more to talk about coming up. But we'd like to know what you're reading and why you like it so much. So give us a call at 550-8433. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And of course, you can email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. And I'm just going to go to the phones because we've got a suggestion from a listener, and we just want to hear what it is. So, Mary, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, wonderfully. Thank you. I just had time to get done with my filing, and I'm at work. I listen to you on the Sub Rosa.
Okay. We won't tell. Glad you're there.
Everybody that listens, walks by my desk, knows what I'm doing.
It's hard to hide.
This is a book I discovered sort of by accident. I went to a book signing out at the Pandemonium Bookstore in Wasilla for another author who wasn't there because the newspaper misprinted the date. So I met this gentleman instead, and we should all be very proud to have him living here with us.
Well, do tell.
It's Buffalo Soldiers by Orrin Hunt.
Tell us about it.
O-R-R-E-N Hunt.
Uh-huh. And tell us about the book.
It's an autobiography. It's about his tour as a young man from, how can I put this politely, less than premium childhood. He was born in the middle 20s, I think, in eastern Missouri, and he's black.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what his starting place was.
Difficult, yeah.
At that time. And he joined the CCC in the late 30s. Then World War II happened, and then he was in the Army, which by then was segregated, and he had learned how to cook, so he was turned into a cook.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed in the Army for a career, and he writes about this. And there is no co-writer. He never even finished high school, I don't think. I think he got a GED or whatever, you know, which means he is a very smart man.
And a good storyteller, huh?
He wrote a good story, and the English is better than in a great many books current in print.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him at the Pandemonium book signing, and when you shake his hand and look in his eyes, you know what kind of a person he is.
Well, that's great. So repeat.
We should get all of his books that are printed and have all of our kids, starting from probably age 13 on up, to read it and find out what it is to have character.
That's wonderful.
And so, I mean, the man is fantastic. You look in his eyes, you shake his hand, and you know what and who he is, and he's top drawer.
Well, Mary, why don't you say the name of the book and the author again for our listeners, and thank you so much for calling in to make that recommendation.
Okay, this is Buffalo Soldiers, and the author is Orrin Hunt. It was locally published, locally printed. I haven't seen a mention of it in any other book or any book reviews or anything.
Have you heard of it, David?
Well, we have it, and I haven't read it yet. But you know, it brings up this one of the great trends is that we're having more and more local writers, and it's one of the ones that you know,
the man
caller
ended up owning a nice restaurant here in town when he retired from the Army, and he sold that a few years ago. And
great.
When he retired, he opened his own restaurant. It was on 4th or 5th Avenue.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Which makes me think of Heather. You're a local writer. I mean, you started right there in Haines. I mean, you're still writing obituaries at the Chilkat Valley News, right?
Yes, I am.
When you're in town?
I'm mostly in town. I really don't go very far if I can help it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask Heather, and Mary, thank you. You can stay on if you like or listen.
Recommend this to every child that you know over the age of 12. Recommend it to anybody. I am a voracious reader, and I just went out and ordered 20 more of his books that I'm sending to friends in the East who I'm sure will never see it.
Well, thank you, and we'll try to spread the word here. We can add it to our list on KSKA.org, so if people are driving around and can't really get the book right now, we'll have it listed on the website. So thank you, Mary.
Thank you so much.
And Heather, I wanted to ask you, you've been out and about on a book tour for your new book, Take Good Care of the Garden and the Dogs, and you're out there in America, people are coming to bookstores. What are they talking to you about? What do they want to read?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, because I write, you know, these, like, stories really about Haines and the people here and my life here. And people, I think, are genuinely interested in nonfiction, I think, in the way other people live in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think adding to what David said earlier, you know, about kids learning, you know, reading to be able to find information. I think a lot of people are reading so that they're not so isolated. They're reading to find out about how other people live in other places.
Right.
And you know, Anne Lamott talks about that. She said, you know, this whole idea of the sort of this personal essay or memoir or whatever, that actually, you know, sometimes the more personal you are, the more it resonates with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than the general. And that there really is kind of a hunger there. People want to, you know, sort of peek in your windows or lift up the pot and see what the ingredients are in that stew.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, some of those sort of books seem to be, you know, appealing to people, I think.
Yeah, that's very interesting. We were talking a little bit earlier about how much, you know, I like to read books about people's work, what it's like to be a chef or what it's like to do these different kinds of jobs that you interact with in your life, but you're not behind the scenes. Sometimes these books take you behind the scenes, and that's really kind of fun to do, too. But I want to go to the phones, and we've got another reader suggestion. So, Ben, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in. I imagine you've got a book to talk about.
I do. It was a book I read a while back, and I hope I have the title right. It was called The Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson.
Mm.
And it is nonfiction, and he basically starts at the atom. He was not a scientist himself at all, by any means. And he came upon the idea while flying, and he just wanted to know how it all started and how we kind of came to all the conclusions that we have through science and technology. And I myself have always been lost when it comes to those things, knowing how things work. And that's why the book is just brilliant. He goes all the way back and covers the stories of the people that have discovered all the things that make our life what it is now through about science and technology. And he doesn't talk about the actual what they discovered, but more about their lives and what it took for them to accomplish that. And it is just amazing what some of these people have been through. And the lives that they have led. And it's just a bunch of stuff that I think that a lot of people would not know or take the time to know. And he wrote it in a way that's very palatable for a reader even like me. So,
that's great, Ben. Thank you. Would you say the title and the author again one more time for our listeners?
Short History of Nearly Everything. And I believe I have that title right. And it's Bill Bryson, B-R-Y-S-O-N.
That's great. Thank you very much. I have heard a lot about Bill Bryson, and I have not read that book, but thank you for the recommendation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for the show. I'm loving it.
You're welcome.
And what I loved about that was that a writer can take a subject that maybe you don't think you're interested in and find some way to connect and just create a book that you can't put down. That's just really amazing, you know, and it can get extreme. There's what's the name of the guy who wrote the book about the pencil and a toothpick? He wrote, the most recent one was
not
he
David
wrote a whole book about, what's that?
Not David Owens, no.
No, but he wrote a whole book about the the design of the toothpick. I'll find out that.
Okay.
Henry Petoskey. And what a feat that is.
Wow.
I haven't read it, so I can't tell you if I'm going to recommend it, but it's always intrigued me.
Yeah, something as ordinary as a pencil, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw in another recommendation from an Alaska writer and reader. Andromeda Romano Lox recommends this book, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you what she said about it. I haven't read it yet. It's Legend of a Suicide by David Vann. Have either one of you read that?
No, but I've read about it. It's actually, a New Yorker magazine book club pick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Laurie Moore picked it for them, and I understand he wrote it, or set, sort of in a down by Ketchikan.
Right? Well, here's what Andromeda says. Vann was born on Adak. He lives in California now. The book is set mostly in Southeast Alaska. What I loved about it was not only its haunting themes and precise language, but its organization and form. The novel is actually one main novel with shorter stories before and after that frame the way the main story is understood. There are some intriguing point of view shifts and one very surprising revelation in the middle. When I reached the middle, I was already looking forward to reading it all over again, and I've heard the same from other readers. So talk about, you don't want the book to end, but you also want it to end so you can start all over again. That's an appetite. So.
You take Alaska, which is this amazing state, and you combine it with someone, you know, like Heather or this book, and who people who have that crystalline skill to put it forward, and it's just a great combination.
Yeah, it sounds like it's that the structure of it is sophisticated. You know, short stories in front and a novel in the middle. And I'd like to invite any of our listeners who've read it, if they want to call up and tell us about it, give us a call at 550-8433 or 888-353-5752. Our topic today is summertime reading, and we have already dispensed with the myth that people don't read in summer because they're too busy fishing and gardening. as Dana pointed out, there's downtime at fish camp, and there's, long road trips, and there's plenty of time. There's lots of daylight to sit out on the deck and read in the evening. So we're exploring books, and we've got Heather Lendy and David Cheesham from Fireside Books. Heather just got back in Alaska from a tour of a lot of independent eclectic bookstores around the country, and we're here to talk books. And we were talking a little bit about history, and I was going to throw in a recommendation. This is coming from the literary librarians at UAA APU, and this is an Alaska writer, and I love to talk about Alaska writers. I wonder if either one of you have read this. It's Dan O'Neill, A Land Gone Lonesome, An Inland Voyage Along the Yukon River. It was the winner of the 2006 Outstanding Alaskana Award for the Alaska Library Association. Have either of you read that?
No, but didn't he do the Firecracker Boys too?
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
And he's a terrific writer, and so I'm sure it's a great book.
Yeah, I would love to read it. See, I want to read these books. This is all about getting me to read more books.
Yeah, and I haven't read this one, but the Firecracker Boys, it should be required reading for everyone. I think it's the most, when our tourists come in, there are two books that I think, if they can only read two books about Alaska, one is Two Old Women, which maybe we talk about, which I imagine so many people have already read it who live here, but the other one is The Firecracker Boys.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, besides the fact that it's well-written and beautifully told and well-researched, everything that you read in the paper, from Native history to the environmental movement to the university system, all the stories of Alaska are woven into that one incident where some boosters felt that we can build up the economy by nuking a harbor, and that's where it all started, it's just crucial, a crucial part of Alaska and U.S. history, I think.
Do they talk about the newspaper up there that started Howard Rock's Tundra Drums? Did they talk about that in that book? I think they might.
I believe they did.
Yeah.
I believe that was, at least, do you remember, Heather?
Yeah, just peripherally, I think, there's
yeah.
mentions of it.
Yeah, bit of, sort of important part of Alaska's journalism history.
Right.
So let's see, what else? Heather, do you have any that you want to throw out there that you've been...
Well, you know, I was thinking, because, you know, about... I'm sort of the nonfiction person here, and I'm thinking about books that I like to read in the summer, and I get kind of distracted. It's sometimes harder, I think, in Alaska to do the whole novel thing, and so some of the... ones that I would recommend to anybody to read, it's kind of a nice escape, are any of Calvin Trillin's collections, and especially, like, if you're staying home like I do, mostly, like Travels with Alice, and then Alice Let's Eat, and then after she died, he has a wonderful book about, you know, I think it's just called Alice. But if you read all those three, and you can read them, they're really like essays. And Calvin Trillin's very funny, and he writes about... you know, his wife is sort of his muse, and she's very practical, and he's not as practical. And he writes about food, and it's just fun. Like, it's like you're reading it, you think you want to go out and eat with him. But he's one of those that you don't necessarily have to, you know, have that same yen to travel, but he's a really fun companion to take. I like that one. So the other one that I read that that's also similar, you know, that you can read in shorter doses is any of Peter Mayle's books about Provence. I guess that's how you pronounce it. You know, A Year in Provence, Toujours Provence. I'm a terrible French.
Does it make you jealous? Doesn't it make you jealous?
Great books to read. Like, I read those before, sort of the Francis Mayle's Tuscan ones.
Okay.
And I kind of liked his better. His fixing up his house. The story about him trying to fix up a vacation house there. He's a Brit and he's in France, and it's hilarious, but it's also you know, a window into another kind of a world.
Yeah.
And the other thing I like in kind of, you know, lifting up the lid on like you said, like work, the work of people, I like reading letters of writers, and the best one I have that I go back again, and there's even an Alaska connection here because he actually comes up to Alaska in some of the letters that are he writes home are the letters of E.B. White.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great letter writer, and you just, you know, you can pick it up and read a few, and it's like these are letters that he wrote or people wrote to him and the people that he corresponded with. And it's just fun to kind of read someone else's mail, and especially someone that's such a good writer and has such interesting friends.
Right.
So I like those. And then the other one I was thinking of that was it kind of like along your pencil line that I thought was a really cool book. It's by a guy named Adam Nicholson, and it's called God's Secretaries, The Making of the King James Bible.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's a really interesting book about how that Bible, which is so, you know, kind of all the verses and the Psalms and everything are pretty familiar to people, and how it was this great collaboration, and how many people actually had a hand in writing it, and even the politics behind a lot of the phrases and the words and how they wrestled with it. And they did it at a time with, you know, no email, no computers. I mean, these were hand-scribed. Things were being delivered on horseback, and it was all at that same time when Shakespeare was starting to bubble up, and stuff was really happening with language and with politics and with religion. And so there's a lot more in the book than just the writing of the Bible, but it also puts, you know, the Bible on a level of literature and not, you know, as something that sort of came down when the clouds parted and dropped onto the ground. It explains why it was written the way it was.
So give us the title again and the author again, Heather.
It's called God's Secretaries, The Making of the King James Bible, and it's by Adam Nicholson.
Well, thank you. That's great. I the way you talk about it makes me want to read it, so thank you.
Yeah, it's a really interesting book, and it's not that big, and it's really, it's the kind that, you know, you could actually sit down in a hammock and kind of read it and think, wow.
Yeah.
And then you also feel a little smarter after you've read it, which is always a nice thing.
That's always a good thing. We could always use a little bit of that. Well, I'm going to go to the phones because we've got a caller with a couple of recommendations. Hello, Shauna Lee.
Hi there. Hey, let me start by saying I love Hometown Alaska. You guys do such a great job with this show.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. You do. Just do. It's just terrific. I have two recommendations today. Ironically, I tend to read a lot more fiction, but both of the recommendations today I'm going to offer are nonfiction books. The first one is all this talk of the wonderful nonfiction books and fiction books that exist in Alaska reminded me that one of my favorites about the North is Two in the Far North, the Marty Murray book. I think if anyone is visiting Alaska or if you're new to Alaska, it really is just a wonderful way to introduce you to the country and to give you a wonderful sense of this immense and vast landscape that we have the privilege of living in. And then the other book that I wanted to recommend is not one that I've read, but one that my husband is reading right now. You know, we're in the middle of World Cup, and I think Americans are always sort of mystified by World Cup, and soccer means something, you know, to so many other people outside of the U.S. that we just kind of don't get as much here. And so a friend of his who is a real soccer fan recommended Among the Thugs, a book by Bill Buford. And that is a book about the kind of extreme level of fan devotion and the sort of hooliganism, really, that goes along with soccer. And it's about a guy that was very active in participating among the hooligans, if you will, that were following Manchester United. And my husband finds it just engrossing. And it's really piqued his interest in World Cup, and now he's kind of following the tournament as a result of this book. So I'd recommend both of those, Two in the Far North by Marty Murray and Among the Thugs by Bill Buford.
Well, thank you, Shauna. Those are great recommendations, and you really give us a good feel for the book. So that is fabulous. Thank you so much for calling.
You bet. Enjoy your summer reading.
We will. You know, that makes me think about the whole genre of sports. We didn't really, we didn't get any recommendations from that. And I wonder, David, is that a section in your bookstore? Is it a growing section? I mean, my husband would read anything about the New York Yankees. So
yeah, I know. Well, yeah, it's a lot like politics. It comes in waves, you know. Somebody wants to read about baseball right around the World Series or soccer right there. And I don't have any titles off the top of my head, but it's...
Well, I do. I mean, look at, right in Alaska, we've got Dan Coyle, I mean, who wrote Hardball.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a terrific book about sports and life and Chicago. And then Lance Armstrong's War is also, you know, you
sure.
could just, I read that like in one sitting.
Yeah.
And Kurt Mendred's new book about the Iditarod.
Right, right. Yeah. What is it? I just saw
Graveyard of Dreams.
Oh God, what a title. Yeah. That's
so, I mean, you know, there's some and then the other one that's kind of a good one, a really good sports book that I think would appeal, and it's a good summer reading book and it would appeal to Alaskans, is Swimming to Antarctica.
Oh yeah.
Remember Lynn what's her name? She's a long distance
yes.
swimmer. But and she swims, you know, Little Diomede. She swims Glacier Bay, but it's not just about long distance swimming. She's a really engaging writer, and it's a terrific book.
That's
Lynn
fabulous.
Cox.
Yeah, Lynn Cox.
Lynn
That's
Cox.
Right. That
yeah,
thanks,
it's a
Heather.
Great book. I love that one.
That's great. You know, I want to mention another book of Dan Coyle's, too, that was recommended by, I put out a lot of feelers to get good books, and a fellow named Tom Pearson suggested The Talent Code by Dan Coyle. And he said, highly, highly recommend reading it this summer. It will change your view of how you look at unlocking your potential, getting good at something, anything. He grew up in Anchorage, lives in Homer, and writes for the New York Times Magazine and Outside Magazine. So we've got some pretty awesome writers here in Alaska. I want to give you both a chance to leave our listeners with some parting thoughts about books, because we're really running out of time. And Heather, any last book you want to recommend?
Well, you know, for people who want to know about Southeast Alaska, I think any of John Straley's mysteries.
Okay, John Straley.
They're terrific. And Cecil Younger is like just the most endearing anti-hero you'll ever meet.
All right. And David, we're really running out of time. I want to thank you both for being with us today. David Cheesham from Fireside Books and Heather Lindy from Haynes. And also we had Dana Stabenow. And I want to thank Dave Waldron, our engineer, and Josh Edge for taking our calls today. Next week, Heather or... We're going to have a we're going to be talking about People Mover and taking the bus.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.